and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, November 9, 2020. A known number of people were killed during intercommunal violence in Tonch East County.
The fighting started yesterday around 2 p.m. after armed youths from Ador section of Jalwao came and raided of about 140 cattle in Luanjang at a place called Padet. And the youths from Luanjang pursued them and raided nearly 200 cows from Jalwao.
And the new Sudanese ambassador to the United States says his country has changed.
And the fact that I am the first ambassador after 23 years of interruption, of downgrading, I would say, of diplomatic relations between the two countries, I am being met with a lot of, interest, and I receive a lot of support.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Local leaders in Tonch East County of Warrap State say a known number of people were killed and several others were wounded in an ongoing intercommunal fighting between two communities. Eyewitnesses say hundreds of people have fled their homes and are hiding in the bushes. For VOA News, Daniel Maringwek reports from Juba.
Makwe Mabiorudwal, former executive director of the now defunct Luanjang Santa County, says the violence started on Sunday when armed youth from Jalwo community raided cattle from a camp in Luanjang.
The fighting started yesterday around 2 p.m. after armed youths from Ador section of Jalwo came and raided of about 140 cattle in Luanjang at a place called Padet. And the youths from Luanjang pursued them and raided nearly 200 cows from Jalwo, and the fighting started there.
Dwal says several people were killed today when the communities of Akok and Thik joined the fighting in support of the Jalwo community.
The fighting is still continuing up to now. We have so far identified 3 people killed from Luanjang and 7 in Jalwo side, making a total of 10 people killed and 30 others wounded.
Mabiora Adel, executive director of the now defunct Luanjang South County, says a number of people were killed when the fighting erupted on Sunday.
On Sunday, at least 6 people were killed from both communities and 7 others wounded. But fighting is going on today, now in places like Lolith, Ajakdit, and elsewhere.
Togriel Chilomadio is a member of the Tonch East County Security Committee, a final Warrap State Governor Bona Fanak created to end persistent intercommunal fighting in the area. Madhio says it is difficult to ascertain the exact number of casualties.
We are not able to give you the details of casualties because the fighting is continuing up to now all the borders of Luanjang.
Madhio says the fighting has forced hundreds of people to flee into the bush. Last month, 15 people were killed and 40 others were injured during a 2-day revenge attack in which the Luanjang community fought the Thik and Ako communities. The two sites later burned down the Romage Mean Market, Langshok Minor Market, and destroyed several schools and health facilities. Local authorities says today fighting has displaced women, children, and elderly. Local leaders say they fear the fighting will spread to other neighboring communities and other parts of the county. For BOA News, Daniel Marengwek in Juba.
Officials in Sudan's Kassala state have closed the border with neighboring Ethiopia due to fighting in Ethiopia's Tigray region over the past few days. The acting governor of Kassala state says the border between Sudan and Ethiopia will remain closed until the situation in Ethiopia is resolved. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Kassala State Acting Governor Fathar Rahman Al-Amin announced last week he was closing indefinitely the border between Sudan and Ethiopia due to the tension caused by the security situation in Ethiopia's Tigray region, which is just a few kilometers from Kassala. Speaking to reporters in Kassala town last Thursday, shortly after chairing a security meeting, Al-Amin said state officials formed a local committee to monitor the Wedelhelewa crossing point on the Sudan-Ethiopia border and assist in receiving civilians who might be fleeing violence in Ethiopia. He warns the state government will not allow any group to enter Sudan that might try to use Kassala's territory as a battlefield.
We will not allow anyone carrying a gun to enter Kassala, but those who are unarmed, we have a local committee that will immediately assist them at Wedelhelewa border crossing.
Last week, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed ordered a military offensive in the Tigray region after the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, attacked the army base. Tensions between the government and TPLF, which used to be part of the governing coalition before falling out with the Prime Minister Ahmed, have escalated in the past few months. On Thursday, Ethiopia's Deputy Army Chief of Staff said the country is in what he called an expected war. The statement was issued shortly after Ethiopia's lower house of parliament unanimously approved a six-month state of emergency in the region, which is controlled by the opposition Tigray People's Liberation Front. Following last week's development in Ethiopia, Kassala State Acting Governor Al-Lamin instructed Sudan security organizations, including the Sudan Armed Forces, to be vigilant along the Sudan-Ethiopia border.
We don't want to see any kind of unlawful gathering. We don't allow anyone carrying a gun coming into Kassala, any group or individuals who have caused insecurity in their country. All this will be fixed by our security. Our border is officially shut down as from today until a further date.
Eyewitnesses in Kassala say there is a heavy deployment of Sudan armed forces in the town. They also said the paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces could be seen heading towards the Ethiopian border. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
Still in Sudan, the new Sudanese ambassador to the United States says his country is working very hard to correct the mistakes of ousted President Omar al-Bashir. Nuruddin Sati says his presence in the United States will help clean the country's dented image. Ambassador Sati says he was highly received by U.S. officials who assured him of their support to the Sudanese people.
And the fact that I am the first ambassador after 23 years of interruption, of downgrading, I would say, of diplomatic relations between the two countries, I am being met with a lot of, interest, and I receive a lot of support from all those concerned in the U.S. And I see this actually as a game changer in the relation. It's symbolic to that some extent, but of course, from a practical point of view, I have already started interactions with all those who are dealing with relations between the U.S. and Sudan.
Give us one example of what you're calling a positive reaction from U.S. government officials.
Well, for example, I am being told, for example, I was well received at the State Department even when they were not receiving ambassadors, you know, in person, I was one of those who they received in person. And that was really, a sign or they are really interested to meet this new Sudanese ambassador in person and see him in person.
Sudan has been advocating for removal from the U.S. list of countries sponsoring terrorism. President Donald Trump announced that U.S. was going to remove Sudan from the list. How is your country benefiting from that important step, if you like?
Well, you know, our relationship with the state and with the country, and we benefit from a great support from all concerned across the board. And we shall continue to build close ties with all our partners in the U.S. because it's a relation between two countries and two states. And whatever is happening, you know, as long as there is a political will, from both sides, we will continue on the same path that we have, agreed to create together.
Recently, your country, reached out, or rather Israel, you, your country and Israel have agreed to normalize relationship after many, many years of, you know, being enemies, if you like. But the issue here is some certain quarters in your country are not happy with your move to normalize relations with Israel. I'm talking about the Islamists, the Muslim fundamentalists, who said that they don't recognize Israel, and you are normalizing relations with Israel, and the fundamentalists are a force to reckon with in Sudan. How would you overcome that hurdle?
Well, you know that this revolution has, come because of certain errors that have been committed in the past, and because the people, the overwhelming majority of the Sudanese people have realized that the ways of the Islamists were not in the interest of the country. And that's why this revolution has taken place. Now that we are building a democracy, we know that we have to deal with diversity of opinion. And we work to build consensus around issues that benefit the national interest of Sudan, whatever the difficulties are. But we know that the people of Sudan understand what is in their interest, and they will stand behind their government in whatever the government is doing, as long as it serves their interest.
That's Nureddin Sati, Sudanese ambassador to the United States. He spoke with me from Washington last week. In the second part of this interview, which airs tomorrow, Ambassador Sati talks about his country's struggle to change Sudan's image in the international community. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. How is the situation of children in Jonglei State? That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your biggest regret?
There was a time I beat up my son to the level that he cannot even stand up. So I really pity him, and then I regretted what I did, honestly. And then since then, I have never tried again.
My biggest regret is when I lost my first wife in 2015, 12 June. But thank God, God has given me another beautiful wife.
I don't have any regret. I have actually tuned myself to know that everything that happens in life is for a purpose.
I can't say I've got a biggest regret, but it's all about challenges. I was able to learn from it and manage it so that everything will go smoothly.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Health officials in Jonglei State's capital Bor say ongoing flooding in the area has exposed children to malnutrition. UNICEF's nutrition field monitor in Jonglei State says more than 12 children have died of acute malnutrition in the last 9 months. For VOA News, Deng Gaideng reports from Bor.
30-year-old Philip Deng tries to comfort his 10-month-old baby boy who was admitted at Bor State Hospital a week ago.
When I brought him here, he was very sick. He couldn't eat anything unless through a tube, but he's improving. The doctors have helped him. I hope with God's help, it's going to be okay.
Deng says floodwaters washed away all his chickens, goats and crops in Wangle village 4 months ago, leaving him nothing to feed his family. He says he fled his village with his family, who now live under harsh conditions in Bor town. Peter Akangi, UNICEF's nutrition field monitor in Jonglei State, says 12 children have died of acute malnutrition in Jonglei State alone in the last 9 months. Akangi says UNICEF has admitted more than 32,000 children suffering from severe acute malnutrition in Bor State Hospital and other health facilities across the state. UNICEF also admitted more than 63,000 other children due to moderate malnutrition in 167 nutrition centers across Jonglei State, according to Akangi.
We have been conducting life-saving nutrition, and we have so many children with severe acute malnutrition that we are successfully treated. Most of them have recovered, and we have so many in form of thousands in program right now.
According to the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, some 500,000 people have been affected by flooding in areas along the White Nile, with Jonglei and Lakes being the worst affected states. According to the South Sudan Relief and Rehabilitation Commission, some 350,000 people in Jonglei State have been displaced by flooding since July. UNICEF says the continuous displacement particularly impacts the health of mothers and children.
We are educating mothers on breastfeeding practices, basically exclusive breastfeeding in the first 6 months, and then continuation of breastfeeding up to 2 years, together with good hygiene practices in the communities, to prevent children from becoming malnourished, and also the health of the mothers.
Akangi says in addition to UNICEF efforts to prevent malnutrition, the government should establish plans to deal with looming disasters like famine. Dr. Boli Chow, medical director at Bor State Hospital, says with nutrition assistance from UNICEF and other organizations, his facility is working to treat the thousands of children who suffer from malnutrition.
It's clear from the data that was given to you in the department that there is an increase in the number of malnourished children in the town. This is highly attributed to the fact that the flood has displaced people to the towns, and here in the town, they are unable to have a good meal, and this has led to an increase in the number of malnourished children. With the support from UNICEF, Save the Children and World Food Program, the children are well attended to. Those are admitted, the severe acute malnutrition cases admitted in the wards here and are attended to.
The joint early warning analysis of acute food insecurity hotspots issued last Friday by the Food and Agriculture Organization and the UN World Food Program warned that South Sudan and three other countries could experience famine in the next 3 months if no urgent action is taken to avert the deteriorating humanitarian situation. The report described a toxic combination of conflict, economic decline, climate extremes, and the COVID-19 pandemic that is driving people further to the emergency phase of food insecurity. Parts of the population in the four hotspots of highest concern are already experiencing a critical hunger situation, according to the report. The FAO warns that escalation in conflict as well as a further reduction in humanitarian access could lead to famine in Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Yemen, and South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
Rights group Amnesty International is calling on the Kenyan government not to deport a Tanzanian opposition politician who fled the country for fear of persecution. Former Chadema party lawmaker God Bless Lema took his family to Kenya after being briefly detained following his loss in the controversial October elections. Opposition leader Tindu Lissa, who ran for presidency and alleged fraud in the re-election of President John Pombe Magufuli, has sought asylum in the German embassy in Tanzania. Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi.
It has been less than a week since Tanzanian President John Magufuli was sworn in for a second term in office, and opposition politicians are leaving the country in fear. On Sunday, Kenyan authorities arrested Tanzanian opposition lawmaker and former member of parliament God Bless Lema as he crossed into Kenya with his wife and three children. Demas Kiprono, a program manager with Amnesty International Kenya, says Nairobi should grant asylum to the politician.
We spoke to his lawyer, and the lawyer confirmed that he is trying to seek asylum because he does not feel safe back in Tanzania. This is coupled with the fact that he was arrested and released soon after the election last week. We must process him through the normal channels, get him in touch with the Refugee Bureau so that they can assess his refugee status.
A call for Lema to be granted asylum also came from Salum Mwalimu. He ran on the opposition ticket with Tundu Lissu, the man who unsuccessfully challenged Magufuli for the presidency.
I think it is good to provide any support just to say to protect his life, rather than just taking it as a matter of no more diplomacy or no more situation and deported him back to Tanzania, because it will be very, very, very unfair if Lema gets back to Tanzania and he finds his life in danger or anything bad happened to him.
Lissu, who alleged fraud in the re-election of President Magufuli, has sought asylum in the German embassy in Tanzania. Amnesty has accused the Tanzanian government of widespread abuses during the campaign. The opposition groups alleges the vote was rigged in favor of the CCM party, which has ruled since independence nearly 60 years ago. Electoral officials say Magufuli won 84% of the vote. He has called for national unity and pledging to work for all Tanzanians. An observer from the Electoral Institute for Sustainable Democracy in Africa said it noted oppression and the opposition have been targeted in a way that challenges the fairness of the vote. Mwalimu, meanwhile, says it is not in Lema's character to leave the country unless the threats he received are serious.
I don't think Lema just decided to take that decision. You know, he's a senior politician, he's well experienced, he has gone through very tough moment. So until he reached to that decision, there must be something very serious, which he know by himself. And if that will be the case, anything can happen to him.
Tanzanian media report another opposition MP and former presidential candidate, Lazaro Nyalundu, has been barred from leaving the country for failing to produce travel documents. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
The Director General of the World Health Organization, Tedros Ghebreyesus, warns the COVID-19 pandemic is threatening decades of progress against infectious and communicable diseases. In an opening speech to a week-long meeting of the World Health Assembly, Tedros urged nations to come together to defeat what he calls common enemy. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
So come on, everybody. Let your light shine, because we are family.
We are family.
American singer-songwriter Kim Sledge, who led the Tongan Nurses Choir, got the meeting off to an upbeat start with this rousing rendition of the classic song, We Are Family. In an appropriate gesture of thanks, WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus paid tribute to the incredible contribution of nurses and midwives in braving the dangers of the coronavirus to save the lives of others. He struck a personal note by expressing his joy at becoming a grandfather for the first time 2 weeks ago. A joy, he said, that was tinged with worry.
I wonder what sort of world my granddaughter will grow up in. Although she knows nothing about it, the COVID-19 pandemic will shape her life and the world she grows up in.
A world in which nearly 50 million people globally have been infected with the coronavirus, cutting short the lives of more than 1.2 million people. Tedros said many countries and cities have successfully prevented or curbed the spread of the disease, but noted several countries, especially in Europe and the Americas, have reimposed restrictions to battle a new wave of infections.
We might be tired of COVID-19, but it's not tired of us. It pays no heed to political rhetoric or conspiracy theories. Our only hope is science, solutions, and solidarity.
While the WHO is focused on coordinating and supporting the response to the pandemic, Tedros said the agency has not neglected other global health needs that do not make the headlines.
But so far this year, we have responded to more than 60 emergencies, including major outbreaks of chikungunya in Chad, yellow fever in Gabon and Togo, measles in Mexico, conflicts in the Sahel, Middle East and the Caucasus, storms in the Philippines and Vietnam, and much more.
Tedros said none of the health worries and many other challenges facing the world can be addressed in isolation. He said they are deeply intertwined and must be tackled in solidarity and compassion with one another. In that spirit, he congratulated U.S. President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. He said he looked forward to working with their administration very closely. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now take you to Tanzania for some bongo music. This one is entitled Kamatia Chini by Nevi Kenzo.
Kamatia chini, kamata chini, kamatia chini, kamata chini, kamatia chini, kamata chini, kamatia chini. I'm gonna call you Lola, I'm going to be your kaka. Kagari alifai kuna toyo, na tukichoka da twende moro. Usinipe gonjwa la moyo, cause you them girls and lawyer. You die, you feel, you know you're rocking with the best man. And I've been so lonely in my life, but now I can hold on tonight. Cause I decide, Kamata chini,
Kama. I'm gonna call you Coco, I'm gonna be your Lolo. Wanifanya niwe kama popo. So many times that I want you, baby, baby, oh. Bring me some new love, step me to the top. So many times that I want you. I've been so lonely in my life, but now I can hold on tonight. Cause I decide.
We've been listening to Nevi Kenzo with the song Kamatia Chini. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, vehicles, and phones. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask if you must leave your home. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
To me, I wanna see you wine. Let us get to that corner.
Don't you see I would not deny? Let me hold your shoulder. I'm gonna really whine and take it slow. Cause I'm falling in love.
Come on, chini, come on to your chini, come on to chini.
Cause I'm falling in love.
Come on to chini, come on to your chini, come on to chini.
Cause I'm falling in love.